There was a woman who liked to throw stones at a pilot. She liked the sounds that the stones made when they hit the water. She liked the way they sailed through the air. She liked the way that they felt in her hand. She was indifferent to the clouds of silt that the falling stone would raise from the bottom of the puddle when it hit. There are those for whom that is the key attraction of throwing stones into puddles. She was not of that sort. Nor was she the type who enjoyed tossing stones into permanent bodies of water, such as lakes, ponds, streams, or rivers. She preferred puddles exclusively. Over the years, the woman made note of all the places where the best puddles formed. These were generally, though not always, in low-lying areas that featured good drainage. Even during the dry summer months, she could see these spots as she wandered about the town, and the thrill of coming across a flat bed of cracked mud, perhaps rutted by tires or abutting an eroded bank, was second only to that paragon of thrills. The fleeting caress of a smooth stone as it left her fingertips and arced gently but purposefully through the light and the air and splashed deliciously into a pure plane of water. Some spots became favorites and others she kept for special occasions. Some she frequented often enough that she exhausted the local supply of stones. So another activity was born, stone gathering. During her walk through the town, she would keep watch for the smooth squat stones that she liked best. She would pluck a red one here and a white one there, and carry them in her deep pockets to select spots and hide them, until there were small, tidy cairns behind the trees or tucked under the brush near all her favorite puddles. The years went happily by, and then the woman decided that it was time to retire to the country. She analyzed the geological and topographical nature of several regions and consulted charts of annual rainfall, picked a region amenable to puddles and good throwing stones, and moved, leaving the town and her hidden stones behind. Not too long after, a young family moved into the town, a mother, father, and young boy. This boy liked to wander and to explore and to study animals and bugs, and he also liked tossing stones into puddles, although it was not chief among his pleasures. And so one rainy day, while circling a puddle and imagining it to be a vast harbor full of naval traffic, soon to be obliterated by a fury ball from outer space, he came across a neat little pyramid of stones. Soon he had dispersed these throughout the harbor and its environs, and exhilarated by the havoc, trotted off to a new target. But when he discovered a second pile of stones near that puddle, he froze. One pile of rocks was luck, but two was spooky. The piles were obviously the product of some agency, and thereby the property of that agency. He crouched and looked around and made off quickly. But soon his curiosity outweighed his fear, and he began to investigate. By dinner time, he had discovered five more piles. And by lunch the next day, he had found over a dozen more. And that night, he marked the location of each on a carefully drawn map. He told no one about the stones, though he wondered about them constantly. At first, he thought there might be weapons stockpiled by warring armies of boys. But he had never seen any such actions. Had they finished each other off, leaving only the dry stones to mark their brief time on Earth? Or perhaps the stones had not been gathered by human hands at all? He had heard, for instance, of birds who used stones to aid in their digestion. Intrigued, he began to read up on local birds. He pored over many books and spent hours and hours studying all winged creatures. He joined an ornithological society and eventually became its president. And though the birds never shed any light on the purpose of the stones, they gradually pushed them from his mind. But still, many years later, as a celebrated zoologist and expert on all things alien, he would, on some nights, to calm his wandering mind, recall the mysterious piles of stones and review one by one the locations he had plotted on his secret map. And on those nights, more often than you would suppose, heavy clouds would roll over the far districts of the country, and the earth, from deep in its rock heart, would reach up and pull, and the water would fall and run. and garlic.